And welcome to the second podcast of the Christina Cook Show. I'm glad that you're joining me 2 days in a row. And I got to start with this completely and totally embarrassing story about myself. So my place where I live, and it's an amazing place, and I have this fabulous view of downtown Denver. I have the mountains spread behind there. I can see the Capitol. I mean, it's just this gorgeous tableau. And my desk sits so that I can look out over this view while I sit at my desk and work. And it's just amazing. And I was sitting here Sunday night, and I'm looking out over the city, and it's dark and the buildings are all lit up. And then I notice that there are these five lights floating in the sky. And they're just going round and round, and they've got these big tails on them, and they're orange. And I'm going, what in the heck is going on? And I flashed to War of the Worlds. That is exactly where my brain goes. So I decide that I am going to go check out these lights. I go to walk out onto the balcony, literally walk through the screen door and knock it off its tracks, knock it onto the ground. And then I realize there's a football game going on. And those are the parachuters that come down at the beginning of the football game. I felt like such an idiot. So I decided, you know what? It's Green Bay. It's Denver. I'm going to watch the game. And I come back inside. I turn on the television, watching the game. And it was one of those like fortuitous things. It's funny when you start looking at an issue. It's sort of like when you're looking at buying a new car and you see that car everywhere on the road. It's kind of the same idea. That's exactly what's happening to me with this new focus for the Christina Cook Show, and how, you know, we're talking about culture, we're talking about the things that really matter, the things that people are actually talking about in their everyday lives. And so I'm watching the game, and this Kia commercial comes on, and I am absolutely blown away by a Kia commercial of all things. Here, let me play it for you.
Let me see that.
Participation trophy. But we won every game. Why did we get the same trophy as all those teams we beat? Are we going to start ending games with hugs instead of handshakes?
No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Here you go, champ.
Thanks.
Is that not amazing? No. No, 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 no. We are not going to just hand out participation trophies. We are not. Even though we won every game, we're not going to get the same trophy as what everybody else got. That was the bottom line. Way to go, Kia. I mean, that's how cultural change happens, is when we start pointing this stuff out. And we start looking at what these issues are and what they do. His kid won every game. He deserves more than a trophy for participation, right? It's a national television commercial. That gives me hope, I have to tell you. Here's my problem. We understand this in football. Why do we not understand it in the other aspects of our lives? Why do we not understand it most particularly in economics? Why do we not get this as a nation? Or why have we convinced ourselves to turn a blind eye to it? That's the thing that I don't understand. So I started doing some research today on participation trophies and what sort of the general consensus is out there about these. And it's interesting because I saw both sides of the issue. More particularly, I saw a scandal that I had missed in August. And this is, again, why I thought we were being invaded by aliens instead of immediately thinking that there was a football game. I don't pay that close attention to the world of sports. Perhaps I should pay closer attention. There was, in August, a scandal that erupted around NFL linebacker James Harrison, who plays for the Steelers. And he has two kids, 6 and 8. And he made his children give back their participation trophies when he discovered that that's what they had won, quote unquote, he made them give them back and said that they would have to earn a trophy. Well, this huge scandal erupted over this, apparently, and there are people weighing in on both sides. There's an article that I found, and this guy is just in defense, seriously, in defense of participation trophies, kind of blew me away. Really kind of blew me away. It's a guy named John Boas, and this is a website I'd never heard of before, sbnation.com. I'm sure it's a sports thing. But he goes through 4 points. And the first point is kids should be allowed to exist outside the meritocracy and appreciate themselves. And I thought that that statement in particular, there's his four statements that he makes, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I thought that statement in particular really rang my bell because of his disdain for the meritocracy. His second point was that kids aren't as stupid as you're worried that they are, and that's likely true. They understand that everyone is being given a trophy. They understand that it doesn't mean that they are a winner. That's what he says. But I think at some level it does. And I think to dismiss that is irresponsible. His third point was, I'd rather my kid feel good than superior, which I thought was a very interesting thing to wish upon your child, that you don't want them to appreciate when they're good at something. Isn't that what that translates into? You don't want them to appreciate when they're good at something. And his fourth point was, this isn't really a point, but I wanted to say it in big letters. Y'all hollering about participation trophies are weird and have bad ideas, but it's not too late for you. Just stop being a dipshit. So, you know, there you go. That's the mentality of the guy that we're talking about here. But this first point, I think it merits some discussion, not to use a pun. Kids should be allowed to exist outside the meritocracy and appreciate themselves. And let me read this to you so you can hear what his take is on quote-unquote meritocracy. The hyper-competitive parents among us seem anxious to usher their kids into the grand socioeconomic machinery of our world. One day they will learn those gears and sprockets, those aren't there to wheel you along. No, 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 no. They're there to crush your bones. When that happens, it will not be an accident. A man in safety goggles will scribble onto a clipboard and grimace and nod. The end. That's how this guy views the meritocracy. He views it as a giant machine meant to crush the human spirit. How sad is that? I find that absolutely depressing that anybody would view it that way. That anybody would view it that way. A meritocracy where people rise on merit. It's the only system that puts the individual in charge of their destiny. It's the only system that does that. Why would we want to run away from that? We would want to run toward it. I would think anybody, again, with self-esteem, anybody who realizes that they are empowered to make the changes in their lives necessary in order to succeed. I mean, isn't there an entire self-help industry, multi-billion dollar industry, focused and premised on exactly that? Are they just playing people for saps? I don't think they are. There are truths in that. There are charlatans in that industry, no doubt. But there are truths in there as well. What about religion? I mean, go through the Bible. I mean, if you look at it the right way, it's one big self-help book. You know, I mean, it's based on that. Get yourself right with yourself. Work hard. And when you're given a society like America, this part's not in the Bible, not in the main part anyway, when you're given a place to thrive like America, good things are going to happen. That's the way it works. I go back to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They don't have a right to happiness. They have a right to pursue it. That is a meritocracy. That is what that is alluding to, is you make your own success. And here in this country, we allow you the freedom to do so. I mean, what are the other options? If we get rid of a meritocracy, if we get rid of the idea that you should be rewarded for success, that you should be rewarded for being better at something than anybody else, what are the options that we can choose to replace that kind of system? And we are moving towards several of these. I came up with four. There may be more, but I came up with four. We've got a plutocracy, where the society is run and power is allocated based on your wealth. We have, in large part, moved towards that in some ways, especially in our political power. Egalitarianism, where merit counts for nothing. We've moved towards that in some part as well. We assume everyone is equal and equally deserving of every single thing. That's the participation trophy generation. Right there. Egalitarianism. What about technocracy? The technocrats, where you have a technological elite who govern because they are technological experts. They're the experts in things. That's my personal bugaboo. That's the one that I hate probably the most, actually, even more than egalitarianism. Egalitarianism, at least at its base, has some sense of trying to strive towards justice. It's completely misapplied, and it's completely abused by those who want to gather power unto themselves, such as in communism, fascism, etc. But a technocracy, where the technocrats come in, they always think they can tweak things to make things better, including people. And that, to me, is the basis for so much evil in this world. So much evil. I mean, you think back to Hegel and the philosophy that gave rise to all the social sciences. And I mean, what is sociology? What is psychology? What are all of these social sciences except the idea that if we can boil human experience down to a science, then we can tweak a few things and we can make the human experience better, except that you can never tweak those things except by government force. Isn't that funny? Isn't it weird how that works? It's the technocrats who have fueled so much evil in this world, so much. That is a lot of what happened in Germany. Not to go full Godwin on you, but that's a lot of what happened in Germany was the pursuit of a better human being. That was the Holocaust. And then, of course, we have aristocracy, where power is handed down based on who you're related to. None of these, to me, is superior in any way to a meritocracy, to the idea that you should be rewarded for your success. And you should be rewarded for your competence and your ascendancy, and the things that you do better than anybody else. That's what you should be rewarded for. Egalitarianism is the one that's really on the rise. Everybody's equal. It's so much of what's behind what's on the left, on the progressive left, and so much of what they are pursuing is this equality, this universal equality. We want to redistribute wealth so everyone has equal amounts in their bank accounts, and we want to redistribute. What else are they going to redistribute? Intelligence, height, beauty? I mean, what else are they going to redistribute? As a society, we value some of these things. And if you don't possess that quality, you're not going to get rewarded for it. Because as a society, we have decided that there are certain things that we value. Athletic prowess is one of them. Intelligence is another. So what would football look like if we had, for example, a plutocracy? What would football look like? Only the rich people would play? Well, that kind of happens. Only the rich people would decide the rules. That also kind of happens. But it's still a much more meritorious game because you still have to have the athletic prowess to get out there on the field. Just having the money does not qualify you to walk onto the field. Walking onto the field qualifies you to get the money. That's the way it's supposed to work. What would education look like under a plutocracy? Only the wealthy would get the good grades. Wouldn't matter if they studied or not. They could stay out all night. They could never show up for class. They could, you know, miss all the tests. But they get straight A's. Education would be completely worthless at that point as any sort of a measure of being educated. Education would go away under a plutocracy. It would be completely gone. What about under egalitarianism? What would football look like? At that point, there would be no points, and they wouldn't actually hit each other, and they would hug a lot and maybe sit around and share their feelings with a talking stick. I don't even know what an egalitarian football would look like. It certainly could involve violence, because that would you know, be unfair to the people who could not withstand that kind of violence, or you know, didn't have the athletic ability to be able to perpetrate it in any sort of equal form. So the fact that, you know, there would be folks who are completely unqualified out on the field means that you'd have to really, really, really dumb down the game. It would not be football. It wouldn't be football like anything that we look like, that we know. Education. This is always my favorite one. Education. All right, so you've got one kid who studies hard and never goes out drinking and attends all of his classes, does all the extra reading, really knows his stuff, really wants to learn this stuff, really knows his stuff. He gets a straight 4.0, right? Then you have the kid who went to college because it was near a bar or several, and he knew that he could get a fake ID. And so the one kid has a 4.0, the other kid has, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt, he has a 2.0. He's shown up to class 3 times this semester. Under an egalitarian society, they both get Bs. Is that fair? They both get rewarded the same. Is that fair to the kid who worked hard? No, of course not. Why should he work hard? And that's the problem with an egalitarian economy. That's the problem with redistributing wealth. Same deal. Why should I work hard if I'm not going to be rewarded for it? If you're going to take all my money, if you're going to take everything that I've worked so hard to achieve, why should I work so hard to achieve it? I have better things to do with my time. I could be watching football, okay? Or walking through screen doors. So, technocracy, the technocrats, the technological experts run football. A bunch of nerds in white coats out there trying to figure out the best ballistics and maybe building little machines to throw them. You know, I mean, that would be a technocracy when we're talking about football. What about education? And this is the one that's actually kind of sad, because the technocrats do run education. They really, really do. Look at our curriculum. Look at our you know, the way that we teach our kids. I can never pronounce that word. Let's look at those things. The experts think they know all the answers. They know the scientific way to educate our kids. They've no longer put the kid in the formula. And that's what I think is so sad. It's why we have children who are so left behind in school. And they could be so successful if they had, you know, teachers in a system, more importantly, a system that listened to them, that went to their needs. And that's the importance of having a local educational system, one that is centered around the family, who knows, the family knows what their child needs. That's why charter schools are so important. That's why school vouchers are so important. You know, some kids need more discipline and the more structured environment of, you know, maybe a religious institution in order to succeed. They need that. They don't have that structure in an open concept classroom with, you know, 80 kids running around, or however they do it these days. The experts know how to best educate your children, because of course all your children are the same, right? That's the part that the technological experts always seem to forget. They're not dealing with uniform inputs. They're dealing with kids. And so to make them uniform, they drug them up. They give them Ritalin. They give them all these medications so that they'll shut up, sit down in that 80-kid classroom, and nobody learns anything. We teach them how to be cogs in bigger wheels. What about aristocracy? Think about this one in football. It would be polo, I'm pretty sure. There would have to be horses involved if it was aristocracy, of course, you know, and maybe swords, but, you know, definitely horses. We definitely go with horses. What about an education? We're talking about aristocracy in education. Only those who have descended from those who deserve to be educated would be educated. The rest of us poor sots, forget it. This is why it's so important to think about what are the alternatives. You know, we're moving towards this egalitarian society. We're moving towards this plutocracy. We're moving towards this technocracy. And I know I'm throwing a lot of big words out there, but, you know, I think I've illustrated what they mean. And, you know, we're moving away from this idea that you can work hard and achieve success, but that you have to put in the work in order to achieve it. We're moving away from that idea. Why? Why would we want to do that? The only reason I can think is because we're lazy. And that's a horrible characterization. That is not the reason why everybody who is poor in this country is poor. That is not the reason. And it's also hard work and being dedicated to everything is not the reason why everyone who's successful is successful in terms of economic success. You know, there are plenty of people who have inherited from their parents. That's okay. Their parents worked hard. Their grandparents worked hard. Somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody paid some diligent effort to that wealth. That's a good thing. Passing down the morality to continue to grow that wealth, that's the important thing. As for the poor, you know, we're not all born into equal circumstances. We are all created equal, but we are not all born into the exact same circumstances with the exact same talent and the exact same everything else. We're all unique little snowflakes, just like ourselves. That's the thing that's hard for the egalitarians to swallow, is that we're not all exactly alike, and they want us all to be. And I can't think of a more horrifying dystopian universe than 350 million of me running around. Honestly. Or you or your mother or anyone else. I want us all to be different. I want us all to be different because we each bring such cool things to the whole mix. And we learn from each other and we grow and we put these things together in unique combinations and we get married and we have kids and the kids grow up and they get married and we find all these different combinations of talents and, you know, people that you run into on the street or your hairdresser or somebody and you're talking to them and they have different ideas than you and you grow and you think about stuff. That's the cool part of life. We don't all want to be equal. And some of this means that some of us are financially rewarded more than others. That does not mean that we cannot all work hard. That should not be a dirty word. I had a friend send something to me today that I thought was absolutely fantastic. Mike Rowe, who is probably one of the clearest thinkers in our generation. I honestly think he's got a lot going for him. He's, of course, the guy who did the show Dirty Jobs, not a man who's afraid of hard work. In fact, he is a man who celebrates hard work. He thinks that that's a fantastic thing to celebrate. I totally agree with him. If I ever have a chance to interview him, that will be a stellar day for me. So he got a question from somebody. He said, "Hello, Mr. Rowe. What is your take on your favorite and mine, MSNBC host Melissa Harris Perry, being offended by the phrase hard worker? How can such a label possibly be offensive to anyone?" Here was Harris Perry's comment. And this was in the context of having Speaker Ryan on her show. Yeah, it gives me a little to say that as well. But she had Paul Ryan on her show. He was being acknowledged on her show for his excellent work ethic. Her response, in her words, "I want us to be super careful when we use the language hard worker. I actually keep an image of folks working in cotton fields on my office wall because it is a reminder about what hard work really looks like. But in the context of relative privilege, when you talk about work-life balance, the moms who don't have health care aren't called hard workers. We call them failures." Well, maybe you do, Melissa. I certainly don't. "We call them people who are sucking off the system." Again, Melissa, maybe you do. I don't. Okay? The system has created that situation, not the working mom. So here was Mike's response. He said, first of all, slavery is not hard work. Not hard work. That's not what that is. Slavery is forced labor. So get the distinction right. You know, the slave in the field does not have or did not have any sort of choice in the matter. They were going to work hard. There was no character work ethic going on there. That was not part of it. They were coerced into that. They were forced into that for fear of their lives. That's a completely different concept. Workers, here's what Rose said. Workers, on the other hand, have free will. Let me try that again. Workers, on the other hand, have free will. They are free to work as hard as they wish or not. The choice is theirs, and their decision to work hard or not is not a function of compliance or coercion. It's a reflection of character and ambition. That's why working hard is a value to be celebrated, not something to be derided. It's amazing to me that those on the left would attack even this idea. The one thing that could lift people out of poverty, they attack. That's a question you need to ask yourself. Why? So that's going to be it for tonight. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. Hope you're enjoying this. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Christina Cook Show. You can also follow me on Twitter @Chris Cook Show. Both of those are Chris with a K. Don't forget that. Follow my blog. Come on and subscribe. I would love to have some subscribers there. I can't pronounce it, but I can definitely get your subscription. ChristinaCookShow.com. Hope you'll come visit me there. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.